My, how I wish that I didn't have to share about this because it seems like I'm a broken record. But today we're going to talk about God's heartache for us to be united. And it comes again from a dream from the Lord. The Lord has just made it clear that we need to be aware of the pressures and the winds of this world that are trying to pull us apart as a body of Christ. We have to remember that every joint supplies that we are members of one body, and that when we are not together, and we're not, that there are parts of the body that are not being nourished. All of us are being malnourished when there's even just one part of the body that is not functioning in concert with the rest. And so can you imagine how different we look compared to how we will look when the Lord returns to a bride without spot or wrinkle? We're on the right track. God is in control. This is not a word of judgment or criticism, but the Lord wants us to be aware of His desire for us to be united. Jesus prayed that we would be one. So I'm going to get into this dream and the interpretation and get to the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Father, thank you. It is by your tender mercies that we are not consumed. Great is your faithfulness. God, I pray your word accomplishes what it came to do, what you sent it to do. And I ask you now to use me as your servant, as an oracle of the Lord, to speak what thus says the Lord, for the upbuilding of your kingdom, and that you may minister grace to the hearer. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I just feel a special calm and peace and a gentleness the Lord is bringing with this word. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So I'm calling this word DC United. DC United. It's a theme, a motif throughout this dream. And I just want to first kind of set the table by why I believe the Lord is sending this word. As we get closer to Election Day, during this presidential election of 2024, I discern the Lord warns us now and is preparing us now for the pressures that will be coming for us to fight one another. There are going to be pressures for us to be divided, and to do so along political lines and other lines that will be thrown our way by the cultural dictates and the cultural communications that are going to be coming our direction. We're going to be coming in contact with all manner of conversations and issues and opinions, and we're going to have to be very careful with our mouths, very careful. I hope we learned something from 2020. I'm not so sure we've learned. The Lord is going to show us who we are. He's going to let us see who we are again. So in this dream, I'm going to go into, I was sitting with three men, and we were watching a game, a football game, together in person, and we were on field level, and Shannon Sharp, a football player, we were listening to him, and he was bragging a little bit about his money and how he had invested his money, and it had grown from $13 million to 100 million, to 190 million. He was very, very confident in his money. And he talked about how he had paid close attention to how he protected his money and protected himself. He was very self-centered. And I believe that's what he represented in this dream. Again, this is not me saying anything specific about him, but in this dream, Shannon Sharp metaphorically was by himself, and he was bragging about how successful he's been by himself and with his own wisdom, his own knowledge and understanding. And he talked about how he wouldn't fly anywhere unless it was absolutely necessary. He was trying to protect himself from any injury or any kind of calamity. And so he was very much about self-preservation. And in this life, guys and gals, we're surrounded by a culture that's saying, think of yourself first. Think about America first. We hear that a lot. Think about preserving yourself first. Think about, but Jesus came, right, to give his life as a ransom. And so if we're going to be like Jesus, we are called to give ourselves away to the Lord, to the Father. We're not to give ourselves away to men, but to the Father. And in so doing, we're going to be serving men and women. Now, I don't want to get too far into that. I want to continue down this line of the dream. And as we were sitting watching Shannon Sharp and watching this football game, which the football game represents warfare, represents the fight between good and evil, and we were watching this, so we were operating as watchmen. We were watching what's going on the field. And I knew that these guys I was sitting with, these three guys, were members or former members. They were actually retired members of the soccer team called DC United. they were retired, but they had so much pride in their history together. These guys were so together. They had been so successful, and I was sitting there listening to their stories, and a part of me was like wishing I could be part of their team. And I was talking about Shannon Sharp with these guys, and one of them, you know, I just knew that he was worth $500 million. And so he didn't say this, but I knew by the Spirit he was worth half a billion. And in contrast with Shannon Sharp, what the Lord is saying is there's more fruit that comes from working on a team. Shannon Sharp was able to grow his money up to $190 million, which is, you know, on the face of it, very impressive. But when the Lord knows that your capacity is greater, but you never reach it, that's actually failure. The Lord is saying that you can accomplish more with a team. So I'm sitting with these guys. They were all wealthy. They had all become successful because they had been a team. And at some point, the ball was kicked to me. And I knew this, know this represents the generation. So they were retired. These are saints that had gone ahead of me that had found a way to work together. And they were passing the table to me, passing the ball to me. It was my turn. And as much as I was sitting there trying to glean wisdom from them, and they were talking about how they had been champions year after year after year. They had been so successful. I was wishing that I had experienced something like that. And I'm looking around. And not to make this dream about me, but at some point there was a fellow that showed up in the dream, and I knew that he might be able to give a testimony about my ability as a soccer player so that I would be, I guess, admired by these guys. And I was even hoping he'd exaggerate my skills a little bit. So I just really wanted to be a part of this fraternity, this brotherhood. And I was hoping for any way to do that. And that's a thing that I want all of us to embrace, is we should all be passionately desiring and craving to be in oneness with one another in brotherhood. And so long story short, after this dream, I knew the Lord was talking about in America. So D.C., Washington represents the nation. It's the seat of power in America. New York is the seat of financial power, financial influence, but D.C. is the seat of authority. And so things that happen related to Washington in my dream life represent the nation. And so the Lord wants this nation to be united and around Him, right? Not to be self-centered and all about preserving ourselves like Shannon Sharp represented, but for us to be fruitful in working together. Remember, the fruit of the togetherness, the fruit of the team was greater than the fruit of the individual. Amen, somebody. And so as I pondered this and I sought the Lord about this dream, I was just so overwhelmed by just the beauty of DC United and how God's heart is that even in the midst of political turmoil and in the midst of political division, that the body of Christ will be united in the Father, that we'll put our kingdom citizenship above our citizenship in the United States, and that we will take great care as to what we say and how we behave during the political cycle. I don't know if you know this, but the enemy uses division to make Jesus look bad. At least he thinks he is, because when we're divided, we're not giving a testimony of the love of God. So we have to be very careful that the gospel is not being impacted, that the Lord's name is not being blasphemed because of our behavior. This is literally scripture. Where in the Old Testament, it talks about that there were consequences that Israel suffered because they caused the Lord's name to be blasphemed by their wicked ways. We have to be careful. Amen. People look at us and they see us as representatives of Christ. When they know you're a Christian, they're looking at you. They're sizing you up. And there were two verses of scripture that came to mind as I pondered this and sought the Lord. And one of them is John 10:30. It says, I and my Father are one. I and my Father are one. Jesus says, take heed, take notice. I and my Father are one. There's no separation. There's no division. I need you to be like me, to think like me, to behave like me. Be one as I am one with my Father. And Deuteronomy 6:4 says, hear, O Israel, listen, people of God, take heed. Pay attention, look, hear me. Do not discount what I'm about to say. The Lord our God is one. There is one God. So in one sense, Moses is saying here, take note that there is no other God except Jehovah. But then he's saying, our God is one, meaning he is not divided. He is all encompassing. He is everything and he's all there at one time together. He's not vacillating. He's not divided. He is not watered down. The Lord is one. Take heed. The Lord is one. So when we take heed, we should know we are one. We should behave that way. These verses speak to the identity of Christ as being one with the Father, and we should be one with him as we are one with one another. The Bible says that you do not know the love of the Father if you hate your brother. Hatred is a behavior. It's not just an emotion. It's what you do. Oneness is God's identity. And this should be expressed by the body of Christ everywhere, including Washington. So as you think about how you hold your favorite political party or politicians accountable, maybe you should withhold your vote. Maybe you should write them when they don't behave in ways that express their faith testimony. Where is the accountability to the people? How are we holding them accountable when they're acting out of order? What's on the Lord's heart is oneness in the body, even in politics. I know even as that's coming out of my mouth, someone's saying, how's that even possible? Well, one, politics is a worldly system. And so we are to be inserted into it, but not be of it. He left us in the world, but we are not of the world. And so we're supposed to be the change agent. We're the salt and the light. We're supposed to illuminate, and we're supposed to change the flavor and the seasoning, the impact of where we are. We're supposed to be diffusing his grace in every place. We're a fragrance of the Lord everywhere, bringing God pleasure even in the dark places. So what's on the Lord's heart is oneness in the body, even in politics, even during a presidential election season, even in the seat of power in Washington. If we are expressing anything except oneness, we are out of step with one another, and we are especially out of step with our identity in Christ. Do you know who you are? Do your words mark who you are? We are also out of step with the Father when we are not one. Oneness can only be found in the Lord. I want you to understand that. Oneness can only be found in the world, in the Lord. DC United, that soccer team, was operating under the assignment of God. We must seek to be one with the Father and by default be one with one another. And as we get closer to election day, the Lord is warning us that there are going to be pressures to be divided, but we cannot be this. We must resist the urge to be political. We must seek the Father and stay with him. What is he saying and how is he saying it? That's so clear. If we don't hear from the Father, we must remain silent. If we don't hear from the Father, we must remain neutral in political debate. So our responsibility is to hear. Hear, O Israel, the Lord God, our Lord is one. Hear. Each of us must be sure we know the Father's voice. Have you taken the time to ask him about his heart with politics? We must not speak unless we're confident we're saying what he is saying. Everything else is corrupt. Ephesians 4:29 says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. So our words should impart grace. And the Lord says in Proverbs 6, there's seven things the Lord calls an abomination. And the one that he ends it with is one who sows discord among brethren. The last one was the one who sows discord. God especially calls that an abomination before him. So don't be used by the enemy to divide us. Division is literally the work of Satan, and we don't want to act like him. Let us pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for the grace to receive this word and to execute. Have your way, O Lord. Humble us under your mighty hand. Guard our mouths. Put a gate over the door of our lips. In Jesus' name, amen. You can learn more about our ministry at faithfireworldwide.com. We're excited to share more about our mission, revival in the church and awakening in the world. We're excited to share more about how we're preaching the gospel all over the world. And we're excited about your partnership. If you want to partner with us, we're looking for monthly donors to help us get to the nations and to minister to our community here in North Carolina. You can give at linktree.com/faithfire, or you can give at faithfireworldwide.com. And that's also where you can sign up for our newsletter and be alerted to words just like this. Peruse our YouTube channel. Check us out on TikTok. Check us out on Twitter, Instagram. We're all over the place because we want the word to get everywhere. Amen. Until we see each other again, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May he lift his countenance upon you and give you peace in Jesus' name. And we'll see you soon. At least that's my hope. Bye-bye.